and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, it's been a roller coaster of a week, hasn't it?
It's been a very busy one.
We had the general election in the UK, of course, which it's always exciting. Well, I say always exciting. did you stay up and watch much of it?
No, mainly because the closing poll thing didn't finish till like 10 p.m. and I was up for work the next morning. So I was damned if I was going to stay up all night watching that. I mean, let's face it, that's a boring thing to watch, that ticking hour by hour, surely.
I don't know. I stayed up and watched about an hour of it after the exit poll had come in, and then I started to fall asleep. So it wasn't keeping me awake, but I was buoyed by the exit poll. So I was hoping that when I woke up on Friday morning, I'd wake up to the news that the Tories were finally put in their place, and they were, and it was wonderful. I'm not saying that this lot are going to be a huge amount better, but it's just good to not have that bunch of tossers in for a little while. At least we've now got a man in charge who desperately needs to blow his nose. Can somebody please give Keir Starmer a tissue?
I mean, we've got to give them a fair chance. I'm very sceptical, as I imagine you are. But I heard a wonderful turn of phrase from someone this week. They said, oh, well, you know, it's just the other cheek from the same arse.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad phrase, is it? But there were some wonderful moments, wasn't there? Jacob Rees-Mogg, that was the one in the lead up to the election. I just thought, please let him lose his seat. And when I found out that he was no longer a member of parliament, what a wonderful moment. And the beauty of that moment was him having to stand next to someone dressed in a sort of baked bean balaclava. Just the humiliation of the whole thing was just wonderful.
It was. And Liz Truss, remember her? She lost her seat as well.
Yeah, she's gone. There were some other big hitters going as well.
Yeah, Penny Borden, she lost hers.
She's gone. She's another one gone, isn't she?
Am I right in thinking that Liz Truss is the first ever ex-prime minister to lose a parliamentary seat? Is that right?
I don't know, but it could well be. That sounds like a very good fact, if it's true.
She's really setting all kinds of terrible records, yeah, isn't she?
The thing is, though, I reckon it's not a bad ploy. Do you think early on, do you think in Liz Truss's life, like, she probably had this plan to become prime minister, and when within a couple of days it was all going really badly wrong, she just thought, fuck it, I want to at least be remembered. So I mean, she's going to be in the history books for, you know, forevermore. Like, in about 150 years time, there'll be classrooms full of children learning about British history, and they'll go, oh, and there was Liz Truss, the shortest reigning prime minister in British history, the only former prime minister to lose her seat. She was outlasted by a lettuce. All those wonderful records that she's collecting. And you wonder how much more she can get. You know, she can go on in other areas of her life now, just getting lots of records that are unwanted. There must be other things she can do. Maybe she can go back as a civilian to the pork markets.
Oh, she does love a pork market.
You know, or she can no longer be absolutely disgraced by the fact that we don't make so much cheese. You know, she can go and start making her own cheese. I'm not suggesting from her own milk. I'm not suggesting that she's selling just cheese, you know.
I wonder at what point she realised, you know what, I'm never going to go down in the history books as one of the greats, so I'll settle for being the sort of wooden spoon, the sort of booby prize. You know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a pub quiz trivia answer, Prime Minister. Yes, That's what I'm going to be.
Well, the thing is, right, you remember the greats, don't you? You remember all the greats, and then you remember the really shit ones. That if you're mediocre, you're not ever going to be remembered, are you? In whatever field of life you're in, you know, if you're really, really good, you're going to be remembered. If you're really, really shit, you're going to be remembered. If you're just in the middle, no one's ever going to be, which is why I hope we're going to be remembered, Ben, in the future.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah, but it's not going to be on the great end of the scale.
No, we are the Liz Truss of podcasts. That's fine. We know what we are.
But we've outlived the Lettys, but only because we're bloody minded about the whole thing.
And the Reform Party, I got a bit confused by that because they seemed to have about 13 seats predicted at one point and they ended up with about 4. Is that right?
Was it 5, I think, in the end?
Was it five?
Okay. They got? I mean, that was the one downside, really, of the night that Farage has got a voice. I think, in some ways, maybe it'll just keep him, you know... I don't know. You know, if there's like an errant child, you know, sometimes you've got to kind of, like at school, at least give that child like the milk monitor role.
Oh, no, he wouldn't like that. No, he'd get pelted.
Well, that might be Trussie's job if she's making cheese. But I don't know. Like maybe he could be the one that goes to ring the bell at the end of the day. Like just give him that little job just to keep him sort of placated for a little while. I mean, he was talking about wanting a referendum to change the voting system in the UK, which, to be fair, right, I think proportional representation would be a better system. But we had a referendum on that in about, was it 2010? And for a man who forced us into a referendum to leave the European Union and doesn't want another one, I think we can safely say to him, well, no, we had that night, we had a chance and we voted against it. So fuck off.
It is very on brand. He does love a referendum, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I wonder what other referenda he can come up with during his time in Parliament. Do you think in Clacton he'll have referenda for everything? You know,
maybe.
Shall we have jellied eels today?
I noticed that he turned up to one of his sort of, I don't want to say rally, because that isn't quite the right word, but one of his sort of campaign moments, he turned up to in some sort of armoured vehicle.
Did he?
And I wondered if that was to sort of repel flying milkshakes. Maybe he is single-handedly the reason that, you know, there's that meme or that trait that McDonald's always have the milkshake machine or the ice cream machine broken.
Yes.
And it's basically because it costs McDonald's a lot of money to get them fixed. So they just lie to you that it's broken. I wonder if he's got behind that. Maybe he'll have a referendum on never fixing McDonald's milkshake machines so that people have less ammunition.
Well, it wouldn't be a bad idea for him, would it? Let's be honest. But then if he's got a tank, just, you know, who knows what he's capable of if he's got a tank. It's worrying me that he's got an armoured vehicle. He's beginning to collect military hardware. What is he planning? That's a worry.
Invade Brussels.
God, him and Richard Tice on the warpath. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Jesus.
There was certainly a lot to celebrate, and there was certainly a lot to laugh at, but there was one moment that did honestly give me really the case of the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
And it was when Rishi Sunak was giving his sort of I'm a big failure, off I go speech.
Yeah.
His wife was sort of standing ominously in the background like some sort of haunting spectre. It was almost as if he was about to say, is she still there? Is it safe to turn around? She's thinking, I have to move out again.
I expected a lookalike to come along on a tricycle at any moment.
God, it gave me the willies. It was horrible.
It must be really difficult to be the partner of someone in that position. You know, it must be, you've got to stand there while he's basically saying, yeah, look, I've been shit. I've really fucked it up. She's just got to stand there with this look on her face. It must be really awkward. And the same for the sort of the incoming wife of the Prime Minister. You know, when you saw him come in, and I suppose it's a joyous situation, but it must be really odd to suddenly be thrown into the limelight in that way.
I suppose also there's some pressure with that because they made such a big deal of Boris's wallpaper and things like that. They can't be seen to be redecorating that flat anytime soon, can they?
No, well, I reckon Keir, he'd do it himself.
He'll be popping down home base for a bucket of paint.
Yeah. get a roller, just get on it. Because we want sort of a more red motif, I would imagine. In number 10.
And I think it's fairly obvious to anyone listening that we're not really very pro-Tory, but let's not forget that Labour have their own special ways of fucking things up just as much, so...
Oh, God, you're just waiting for it. Just, you know, and they've got more people on the benches now to fuck it up, haven't they? I mean, that's probably the downside of a massive majority, is there's more people to fuck it up. More people who've got skeletons in the cupboard. I heard today that they have to go through, like, the whole... Is it the ethics kind of committee? right? And I think
politicians go through an ethics committee, really.
Well, I think they sort of have to be talked to when they with their new MPs. They have to go through a sort of scenario of things that could go wrong. And I read today that it's being conducted by Sue Gray, who is now part of the Labour Party, and she's having to ask people, particularly on the back of. Was it Zahawi and his tax issues? So on the back of that, they're all being asked, now, have you got any problems, recent or otherwise, with HMRC? Have you got? And there'll be some of them just shitting themselves already, won't they? We go, oh, Christ.
Yeah. Now, tell me now, you're not in trouble. I'll just be very disappointed.
So, yeah. Anyway, we should wait. It won't be long till the first scandal comes along and then we'll just be back to square one. But let's enjoy the change while it lasts. Of course, it's been a rollercoaster week supporting England at the Euros, hasn't it?
It has. We've somehow bumbled our way into the semi-finals.
Now, if you remember, before the start of the tournament, I said to you, I thought we were going to have an absolute disaster of a tournament.
I don't think you've been proved wrong yet.
Well, the thing is, I'm very happy to eat my words, though, because I think, as I said to you last week, if we play badly and win, I couldn't give a monkey's. If we go on and win this thing, I will be the happiest man alive, and I'll be very happy to eat my words. If someone reminds me of the fact that I was all doom and gloom beforehand, fair enough. I'll eat that slice of humble pie with pleasure.
I think I would have to as well, although it has been completely underwhelming. Although the highlight for me so far, two highlights, the angriest man in the world, Jordan Pickford. I love Jordan Pickford. I love how much he seems to hate his job. He hates his job more than the average person hates their job. Anytime he has to move, he's giving someone a bollocking. And the other thing I love is the five England penalty takers. Mm. Have you ever seen five more confident penalties? A big nod to Ivan Toney for the no-look penalty. I've never seen that before. Ice cool, that man.
Unbelievable. He's done a video that I saw today on social media of him doing lots of things, just not really looking. And it's very funny indeed.
Although it was a risky move, because if he'd have missed that, he'd have never heard the end of it.
Well, yeah, but he was confident, wasn't he? It was a wonderful moment. It was a wonderful moment for one of my heroes, Bukayo Saka, who, of course, missed a penalty in the final a few years back to score his penalty. And he scored the equaliser, of course, which was a wonderful goal. But, I mean, it was just a wonderful moment, a lovely moment of redemption. But being an England fan, it's not easy.
No.
It's not an easy journey. It never has been, never will be. But, you know, we're on the verge of something great again.
I just wish for my own sort of mental health and my own nerves, that if we could stop, I mean, to be fair to Southgate, it's working, this formula of not having a shot on goal for 80 minutes, going 1-0 down and then deciding to make some changes and do something about it. But it's doing no good for my nerves, I tell you.
You know Jemima Packington, do you remember her predicting that England were going to go on and win it?
Oh, the Asparamancer. This is the lady who throws asparagus in the air. Long time content provider for our show, whether she knows it or not.
And we were sceptical, and I did my own vegetable toss, if you remember.
You did.
And I predicted Hungary, and they went out very early. So Jemima Packington has got something that I haven't got, clearly.
Asparagus.
Asparagus. But I will tell you that there are some meerkats who have been predicting results throughout the tournament. I'd not been following this that closely.
It's not those annoying ones who recommend car insurance, is it?
No, these are proper meerkats. These are animals at a zoo in East Sussex, not far from you, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Near where you are. And they've been predicting results as we go along, and they predicted that England will win the semi-final against the Netherlands.
Right. Any more detail? Scores? Maybe who's the goal scorer?
Well, no, of course they're not predicting. I mean, they just pick a bucket with food in.
Right.
They're not talking. I think you've seen too many Compare the Market ads where you think meerkats are able to converse.
Simples. Yeah. I thought they could do it, but obviously I've been misled.
No, I mean, they go to a bucket where there's food and it's got a flag on it and they've picked the England one. So, you know. But they've correctly predicted up to this point. But it was a bit like Paul the Octopus. Do you remember? He predicted well the whole way through and then he died. So I just hope these meerkats see the tournament through.
So, I mean, are you looking forward to the game? Because, of course, this podcast, I mean, hopefully people, whenever they see their phones light up, the new episode of the Trev and Ben podcast is out, they will automatically just stop what they're doing and start listening. But this should come out about 2 hours before kickoff.
Yes, yes, it will. I mean, enough time to listen to it before kickoff. But, you know, I doubt anyone's going to be bothering listening to this before the match. So anyone listening to this, you're listening to this probably after the match, and you're either drowning your sorrows now shouting at us to just shut the fuck up because it's all over.
We're used to people asking us to shut the fuck up. There's no change there.
Or you're a bit pissed and jolly and enjoying this podcast.
Okay, well, bring on the final then, I guess. Trev, you know, in the past, we like to tinker, well, especially I like to tinker with AI on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been tinkering a little bit with it this week, actually.
Have you really? What have you been up to?
I've been trying to do a picture for a mate's birthday card, and I tried to merge his face with Boris Johnson's.
Ooh. And this is a friend of yours?
Yeah, yeah. And I've managed to do it on AI. The only thing is, I think it looks, it's done it really well, but I think from a distance, you just think it's Boris Johnson. So I'm not sure it's quite had the desired effect. I'm not entirely happy with it, but that's AI for you. It's not perfect.
And I have had a little tinker with it myself. Remember when a few episodes ago, episodes of this podcast, is that right? Or shows? What do we refer to this podcast as?
Episodes.
Episodes.
Episodes. Yeah.
We did a completely fabricated Trev and Ben podcast link, which was entirely written by AI, and it used our voices.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't great, but I suppose it wasn't terrible. There's been a story I've seen come out in America of a high school principal. Basically, some of the staff received an email of an audio recording of the principal of the school who was saying some incredibly racist and anti-Semitic things. And then they decided to circulate the audio, and he got in all sorts of trouble, and his job was on the line. He denied for, it turned out, about 3 months he was vehemently denying he'd ever said this. And eventually, believe it or not, the FBI stepped in.
Wow.
And they started analysing the audio, and they deemed it to be an AI deepfake of his voice.
Wow.
And what had happened was, one of the school's gym teachers, a disgruntled member of staff who'd been sacked by the principal for being suspected of misappropriating school funds, had managed to use samples of his voice to put this horrible hate speech message together and widespread it and made people believe the principal had said all these things. And he went scrutinized and called a racist and all this awful stuff for 3 months of his life. Wow. Before it was uncovered by the FBI. So It's made me rethink, maybe this AI technology and the voice stuff maybe isn't as good idea as we first thought. Maybe we should put it back in its box for a while. What do you think?
Well, it's out of the box now, so, I mean, there's no going back. But I think this is the danger, though, isn't it? I mean, it's going to put words in people's mouths, and that's going to be very, very dangerous. And you've got to be able to work out for yourself whether what you're hearing is true or not. It's all going to be, it's going to ramp up the fake news thing.
It is. And the scary thing is, it's only going to keep getting better. And we're going to get video that goes along with it, deep fake face technology. It's going to look like people are saying these things, and it's going to get better and better to the point where it's going to be almost impossible to tell who's actually said what's real and what isn't.
There's a brilliant program that was on the BBC maybe a year or so back. And I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but it was all about this. And the second series was about this sort of aspiring politician. And as he was live on telly, he was saying all the right things, but they were manipulating it so that by the time it was being received in people's homes, he was saying something entirely different.
Wow. And that is a bit scary.
Yeah. And I mean, it was, I wish I could remember what it was called. I'll try and find it by the end of the podcast because I'll throw it in the recommendations for you.
That's a good idea. Not, by the way, not to mention, what if that's been happening all along to us? What if Liz Truss is a genius, but she's been terribly manipulated by AI in real time?
What if Boris Johnson was able to make sense? What if he could put two sentences together? And we've just been given this idea that he's a knobhead.
So until people start, well, they already are, but until it's become commonplace for people to start misusing it and using it for horrible things, whilst it's still possible to have a bit of fun with it for a laugh, and when you can know someone clearly never said that, I think we're still in this sort of period now where it's kind of okay. And going back to the football, I've got this lovely example of a deep fake of Gareth Southgate giving a more honest reflection of the thoughts he has to the upcoming game with the Netherlands.
Well, fuck me, that was close, wasn't it? Do I have any plans for the Netherlands? Well, if Harry Kane can get out of our own fucking half, that would be a start. Jude needs to grab the game by the balls again. If that doesn't work, we'll just sit back for 90 minutes and pray for a fucking miracle.
No, I like it when it's like that, when it's clearly something he never said. But I find the AI Gareth Southgate much more honest.
Well, the thing is, I've seen a couple of others of these, and when you just hear it without the pictures, I think that is so believable. When you see it with the pictures, you can see the mouth not quite working. It's not quite there yet. But when you just hear the voice, you think, is it really Southgate?
Unfortunately, I have heard some other really funny ones, but I chose not to play them on the podcast because some of them are borderline libelous. So I decided to give them a miss. But if you search for Gareth Southgate AI interviews, there's plenty of them and they are very funny. That was the one I thought we could play.
I wonder if they could get that to do the team talk beforehand. Maybe it would be better in a way.
So what are your thoughts on these AI deepfakes and things like that? Do you think we are in the fun zone, or do you think we're now teetering into the the problem zone?
I think we're in a problem zone with it. There's no doubt about that, because I think things will be put out that it's going to be very difficult for people to disbelieve what they're seeing or hearing, particularly if, as people tend to do on social media, set themselves up in a bit of an echo chamber, and you're going to see or hear things that you think are real. You know, so if you're a Trump supporter, for example, people might post stuff of Joe Biden speaking coherently, and then you believe that's real. You know, that's the concern.
I have seen some of this happening already. The most recent one I saw was, and there is a lot of genuine things to point out of Joe Biden's mental competence maybe slipping quite drastically. But the one I saw was a clip of him appearing to simply wander off mid-interview, just stroll away from the camera and look a bit sort of lost, until you look a bit deeper into the story and realise that the image had been carefully cropped.
Yes.
So that he was actually walking along to talk to somebody else, but that part of it had been cropped out of the scene, so to make him look a bit more doddery and not quite with his capabilities.
Yes.
So it's already happening, but I think so long as we're still at the moment where people can point to the original footage or point out this has been doctored, I think we're okay. But yeah, it's already happening. Editing, manipulating. Is it too late to put the genie back in the bottle, or are we screwed?
No, of course it is. It's already out there, so we're going to have to live with it. We're going to have to try and work with it. And you just got to be more aware that the things you're seeing or hearing might not be quite as they seem. And you've just got to be more on the ball, which I'm finding harder and harder, especially as you get older and older. It's sometimes harder to sort of think, oh, I've got to think about, is this real or not? You know, it's getting harder, but we've all got to do it. We've all got to up our game.
Although it does give Gareth Southgate, I hate to keep going back to Gareth Southgate, but if we perform badly again and somehow win, or even if we're knocked out in the next game, he could go on an absolutely foul-mouthed tirade, you know, finally let loose what he really wants to fucking say. And then at the end of it, once that footage goes out, you can just blame it on AI.
Well, that's true. Yeah, why not? Why not do it that way? I often think that if I ever said anything on this podcast that, you know, was deemed libelous to someone. And she said, well, I never said it.
Yeah.
Prove I said it.
I mean, you would have some questions to answer as to why you were the one who allowed that to make the edit and get published, but fair enough.
Well, maybe somebody's gone in and changed it after I've published it. You know, that's the...
Magically.
If you go back to that program I was talking about, which I will find the name about, that all happened, didn't it? The darker side of people's nature would enable them to do all kinds of things, you know, that you may not be aware of. So maybe I say things that go out on the podcast that I never said.
Well, okay, so if you ever hear Trev saying anything absolutely horrendous, if it hasn't come from the official Trev and Ben feed, the podcast feed, then be sceptical. But there's a strong possibility that he has said something horrendous.
If it's on the official podcast feed, it's that somebody may have gone in and changed it. You know, vote Trump. Somebody might have put something in that I would never say. You just got to watch out for it. I'll tell you where AI is showing signs of weakness, though.
Go on.
An AI robot committed suicide.
Oh, no.
This week. It was
that's a damning indictment on mankind, isn't it? That this thing is designed to react to the information that we humans feed it, and it was so depressed it chose to end its own existence.
But it was an AI robot in South Korea that worked for the council. I mean, imagine how depressing that is, working.
Why would you harness this amazing piece of technology and make it work for the council?
And its job really was to deliver documents to residents. That was its only job.
Oh my God, what a waste.
They made it look terrible. It looked like a dustbin with a screen on the front. So they didn't even make it look sexy. So imagine every time...
Was it Cal Binface on polling day?
Imagine that every time it saw itself in the mirror, it was thinking, oh God. A bit like I look myself in the mirror and think, oh Christ, do you really look like that? It was doing the same sort of thing. It was going, they could have made me anything. They could have made me look like, I don't know, Brad Pitt, anyone of that sort of nature. But no, they've made me look like a fucking bin.
Yeah, you're not Alexa, you're not even Siri. You're a document dispensing dustbin. That's what you are.
So it threw itself down the stairs. Yeah, it ended up in pieces. They've collected the pieces. There's now an inquest going on as to what caused it to do it. Well, because it had a shit job and it looked shit. I think there's the lesson to be learned.
Now, there's a moral question. If the AI technology has chosen to end its existence by launching itself down the stairs, is it morally questionable or morally right to piece it back together, you know, repair all the chips on the wires and I don't know how it works, plug it all back in, when it's chosen to end itself and you're forcing it back into existence? That seems a bit ropey morally to me.
The question is, if it's chucked itself down the stairs and it's in lots of bits and then it's put back together with new bits, is it the same being as it was before?
Well, if anything, it will have got wiser. It will have learned that that's not a definitive suicide for what it is. It needs to jump into an incinerator or something.
Yeah, or it needs to get higher up next time.
So kind of like if you keep repairing a boat until every part of it's been replaced over years, is it still the same as the original boat?
Yeah, it's a bit like Trigger's broom.
Exactly, yeah.
It's had 5 new handles and 6 new brush heads or something. You know, it's not the same fucking broom, is it? The robot went slightly mad before throwing itself off the stick.
In what way?
It was just going round and round in circles. I mean, that's like a caged animal. You know, like a caged animal will pace up and down.
Yeah.
It's like the robot got to that point. It was so bored with it. I mean, I don't want to equate your job with this, but this robot's job was delivering documents. I mean, it's not that different. Do you ever find yourself just going around in circles?
Well, you know, I get to go home at the end of the day, and I get, you know, I get wages which I can choose to spend on what I want. And you know,
I'm just going to say to Mrs. Ben, don't allow him up the stairs as well. That's all I'm,
well,
what I'm
saying. I haven't delivered to a block of flats in a while, so maybe the next chance I get, I'll be hurling myself down the stairs.
Now, Ben, I think like me, you like words. You like the English language.
I do.
Were you at school more swayed by English language and literature rather than maths, because with numbers, I can't do numbers. I panic with numbers. If I see numbers, I get stressed, whereas words, I enjoy.
Very much the same. I gave up with maths when they started introducing letters and stuff. You know, I thought, what's the point? I'm never going to use this. And I was right. I never have.
Are there words that you particularly like?
In what regard?
I don't know. Just they sound nice. A friend and I had this idea once of a book of just lovely words. There'd be words in there like flibbertigibbet.
I've always quite liked the word piffle.
Piffle, that's a very good word. Yeah. So I think words can be really kind of fun. I always like Susie Dent. You know Susie Dent of Countdown fame?
Dictionary Corner, of course.
Dictionary Corner. On Twitter, she has a word for the day. And I always like that. It gives me another word, if I can remember it, to add to my vocabulary. Today, for example, not too far from a word you've just said, but her word of today is whiffle.
Whiffle?
And that's to hover indecisively over a decision. So if you're, yeah, I suppose if you're indecisive, you're whiffling.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I've just remembered another word that I quite like. It's usually something politicians do when they try and kill time by endlessly talking. Filibuster.
Filibuster is a good word. Yeah. I like words that have a good feel to them. You know, that's what I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago about swearing, how swear words are good. They've got a good feel about them.
Yeah.
But there's an American living in London who wants to ban five words that Brits use. And I'm a bit cross about this because
I've got nothing against... Coming over here, banning our words.
All right, Mr. Reform. you know, we've got some listeners in America. We love you dearly, but don't tell us what words we can and can't use, please.
Right, okay.
Because we're going to get into that. Start putting use in your words.
Now, I'm going to take offence to this. If he starts trying to insist that decent, good, especially British swear words, if they're going to be gone, I'm going to have a problem with this. So what are the five?
Right, his first is bloody.
No, that's not going anywhere.
He says he doesn't understand the need to say it, and all he can think about is blood. Well, I mean, of course it would, but I don't know what the sort of start of that word being a swear word is, whether it means bloody as in blood. I suppose it does, the bloody thing.
Yeah, I don't really know where it came from either, but I'm not comfortable with losing it because it's a very British word. I don't hear other people saying it, and I don't want to lose it just because some yanks come over here and doesn't understand it. Some bloody yank.
And the thing is, it's the mildest of swear words, isn't it? It's probably the first swear word you hear your parents or grandparents say,
yeah,
as you get that little bit older. I think when you're young, there's no swearing around. Certainly in my family, there wasn't. And you'd hear things like ruddy, yeah, instead of bloody because people didn't want to swear. That ruddy thing, or, you know, blooming. Yeah, that blooming thing. And then you get to an age, I'd say about 7 or 8, when the word bloody starts coming. Do you remember the first time you heard a grown-up say that? Oh, it's a naughty word. I can't say that. But it's a great word. I still use it a lot. I mean, I use all the swear words every day on multiple occasions. I love them.
So can our joint Trev and Ben hammer come down denied?
I think we can deny this. Yeah, good. Bloody is staying. I was pulled up recently for being a bit of a hypocrite.
Really?
Because I said recently on the podcast that I love swearing, and I do. I enjoy swearing. I don't have a problem with swearing. But someone brought to my attention that I have also complained in the past about the swearing in pop songs these days.
Yeah.
And I had to really think about that. I thought, you see, the thing I don't like about the swearing in pop song, I don't have a problem with the swearing per se. What I do have a problem is, just because it makes my life a fucking nightmare, if they don't provide a version without the swearing, when all radio stations have to play versions without the fucking swearing. So give me a version without it. That's what annoys me. I don't mind the swearing, but what annoys me is when I've got to lose the bloody swearing because you can't be asked to give me one without it.
Yeah, I think they should make more of an effort.
Of course they should, because it makes my life a misery. Anyway, the next word he wants to ban is another swear word. And again, it's one I think straight away we're going to say no to. Bollocks. Although he says bullocks, but we all know it's bollocks.
Well, if he can't even get the word right, then he can't really call for it to be banned.
He thought that the first time he heard it, he thought something terrible was happening. Why do you think something terrible is happening when you've not heard that word before? Particularly if you think it's bullocks. Are you assuming that there are a couple of bullocks on the rampage? Well, there's horses on the rampage in London now on a more than regular basis. But
yes, that's been a strange thing, hasn't it? I flicked on the news the other day and I said, two horses bolting through central London. And I thought, hang on a minute. I've lived
gone
through
back
this
in time.
My time machine, it works. I thought, I've lived through this day once already, so that's a strange one.
I mean, what is wrong with the army? Surely, for centuries, they've been able to keep horses under control. What's happened? What's gone on? I don't mean to point fingers, but I think since we lost Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, there must be a lack of discipline in the army. I think they've all taken their eye off the ball a little bit.
Maybe the King's Guard no longer give a shit anymore. They've all got a bit rogue. They're just letting the horses do what they want.
So anyway, he doesn't like the word bollocks. I love the word bollocks. Again, it's a word I use a lot. I'm not getting rid of it.
Once again, I think the joint Trev and Ben denial hammer is coming down firmly.
Okay, number three, and he says this is the grossest word, dribble.
Dribble. Sorry, can I just clarify, dribble with a B or drivel with a V?
Dribble with a B.
Because drivel is another word. It's up there with piffle for me, drivel.
Drivel's a great word. Drivel's a brilliant word. But dribble's a good word. He doesn't like it because of the... I think it's almost the sense of the dribbling out the side of your mouth. He prefers drool, the drooling. But dribble's a great word. We dribble in football. We dribble the ball.
Well, our American friend might dribble a basketball.
Exactly. Dribble a basketball.
It's not necessarily a British word.
Perhaps it's the meaning of the British use of it in terms of saliva seeping out the corner of your mouth when you fall asleep on the tube and you're dribbling on the person next to you.
Yeah, I think the Americans would say drooling
yes.
for that.
Yeah, but I'm not getting rid of dribble. I mean, all right, it's not the nicest of words, but I like it.
I mean, I can think of far more disgusting words, but I'm not going to start that challenge right now. But there
flob. I mean, flob. You know, when someone's flobbing.
I would say of the three words, gun to my head, I'd say bollocks, bloody, and dribble. I would say I'd rather lose dribble so far.
Okay.
I would feel less offended by losing dribble, but I'm keeping it.
Right, next, not only does he want to get rid of a couple of words, but he wants to get rid of a food stuff as well. So it's more than just words he's wanting to impact now. And I'm sorry, mate, you're very welcome here. You're very welcome to enjoy everything that Britain has to offer. But don't you start messing with this. He wants to get rid of the phrase and the food, bubble and squeak.
Now, if he'd have said spam, I'd have been on board. He could have had spam. I could have happily kicked that out of the lexicon, out of the world. No more spam. Spam is disgusting. Bubble and squeak is a thing of beauty. I will not have that going anywhere.
And you're right, because spam, everything about spam is awful. The food is awful. I'm not even sure what is it. Sort of, it's a pork-based thing, isn't it? Spam. I only ever use it for fishing. But
so do I.
It's like luncheon meat, and I don't like it. And then spam you get in the mail, emails. There's nothing good about spam.
There's nothing
good about spam.
We always, growing up, referred to spam as an acronym, and we would say it stood for something posing as meat.
Yes, no. Yeah. The thing is, though, I like corned beef, but it's very... That's nothing like spam, is it?
No.
It looks sort of similar. Like, people don't like the look of corned beef. It's gelatinous and... I love a bit of corned beef, but spam... I don't know if I've ever actually eaten spam. I've had luncheon meat, but I don't think that's quite the same.
No, there is something quite uniquely disgusting about spam, but we're not discussing spam. We're discussing bubble and squeak.
The bubble and squeak, I have only in recent years really got to enjoy bubble and squeak. I never really enjoyed it as a child. The idea of leftover sprouts being mashed into perfect mashed potato, leave that alone. I like the mashed potato. So I never used to have it, but in recent years I've discovered the joy of bubble and squeak, and it's called that because of the noise it makes. That's why it's called bubble and squeak, because you put all that in the pan and it bubbles and squeaks.
I know where I'll lose you with this, but it's a delicious recipe.
If you start talking about piccalilli and
No, mustard. No, but I know where I'll lose you.
Go on.
A bit of lovely bubble and squeak, little bit of leftover pork, roast pork, lovely, cheeky fried egg on the top, and a little squirt of brown sauce.
Oh, fuck off. Bollocks. Bloody and bollocks to that.
Did I lose you the brown sauce?
Yeah. Fuck that. No, just give me bubble and squeak on its own. Nice bit of cold meat. As you say, turkey or ham, bit of pork, lovely. Sod the sauce, not having that.
What about the cheeky fried egg? Just for something a bit runny, a bit of moisture.
Do you know, I've never done that. That's not been in our family tradition to do the egg on a bit of bubble and squeak, but maybe that's...
Give it a go.
Because we only ever do it at Christmas. Bubble and squeak's only ever done at Christmas. Boxing Day, that's when the bubble and squeak's done as a tradition in our family. Never any other time of the year is bubble and squeak done. But maybe I'll suggest it. Maybe I'll try and rock the boat this Christmas. So it won't go down well, by the way, in my house when I start changing things like that. You add a fried egg to it.
So what's the fifth and final attempt? Maybe he'll win us over on the fifth try.
Okay. Again, I'm not sure. He wants to get rid of the word knob.
Oh, no, that's a British staple, calling someone a knob.
I mean, it's a great word, isn't it? It's like calling someone a dick. You're a knob. You're a knobhead.
Yeah.
Absolute knobhead. It's a perfect word.
Does he offer up a replacement?
No. No.
Knobhead.
I mean, I don't like the word jerk particularly. That's a more American sort of word that might be used instead of knob, isn't it? But I don't like that.
No. And I'll tell you one thing that really boils my piss is America. I don't know if you've noticed this. Have you noticed Americans trying to say, and I apologize again for the terrible language listed throughout this podcast, but Americans trying to say the word twat.
No.
And it coming out, oh, it's the worst. They say twat.
Twat.
Like it's spelt with an O.
Twat.
And I just can't tolerate it anymore.
Is twat a word, though? Maybe that's an American word that we don't use. Twat.
Well, if it is, then I'll eat my words. But I'm not eating the word twat. That can fuck off. It's twat. Learn how to use the language correctly.
I once had to make an advert, right? And we'd written a script. And it was for an American voice, and it was like a spoof kind of movie type script. And we put the name Craig in, and the American voice kept saying Craig.
Yes, they can't do it. It's another one of their blind spots in the language. And
we kept saying, oh, would you mind saying Craig? And he was a great voiceover, but he got a little bit shirty with us. And in the end, we changed it to Greg. We thought that was just as easy. I mean, it's fine, but it's a weird sort of way of saying Craig.
I know, but this is the thing, though. They can hear you saying the word Craig. So why do they insist on pronouncing it differently?
Stop effing like the Americans, you knob. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Again, apologies to our American listeners.
We're very sorry.
So sorry. We're terrible Englishmen. Fucking knobheads. Also, can I say, by the way, just as we're apologising for things, I'd just like to apologise if you've heard this podcast and the audio quality isn't quite as crisp as it normally is. Basically, I've had a fucking nightmare with every computer in my house. Recording this podcast this week has been a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be about a 45-minute listen, I imagine, but it's been about a 4.5-hour process to get this fucking thing out today.
My brand new computer that I bought only in February for a lot of money has died on me, and I'm now trying to get that repaired. Oh, they've told me, by the way, that it might be a month before they can repair it.
Oh, how convenient.
So I could be in for a month. I could have a nervous breakdown by the time we get to that point. But anyway, just what I'm apologising. If it's not as crisp as it normally is, I don't have all the tools that I normally have at my disposal for cleaning up the audio. But it's as good as I can get it. Okay, just say that.
There you go.
Anyway, before we wrap up another Trev and Ben podcast, before the computer crashes again... I've got a couple of recommendations for you.
Go ahead, quickly.
First of all, Channel 4 documentary, Guy Martin's Lost World War II Bomber. It was fantastic, right? He goes to the Netherlands to report on a salvage operation to bring up the Lancaster ED-603 and its three members of the crew that were never found after it went down in 1943.
That's rather fitting, because very soon we might be in a salvage operation with the Netherlands, so you never know.
I mean, Guy Martin's brilliant. He's pro programmes are brilliant. It's always something to do with engineering or mechanics or something. And he's a great character, but the stories are fantastic. Really enjoyed that. So that's on Channel 4. I'm also going to recommend the programme that I was trying to find out earlier about the AI.
Oh, yes.
And it's called The Capture. There are two series of that. It was on the BBC originally. Apparently, it's available on Amazon Prime.
Excellent stuff. And I think, not to, you know, rush this podcast to an end, but I think before, in AI style, you hurl yourself down a flight of stairs, we should wrap this one up.
I should just tell you, I'm at the top of the flight now. Metaphorically and physically. So there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trevor and Bill on X, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Well done, Trev. Good luck with the edit. Bye.